We'll do one more disease. This one is the disease of hard-heartedness. Right, hard-heartedness. أَفَمَنْ شَرَحَ اللَّهُ This isn't particularly listed, but it's worthy of mention. I think it warrants a place in the list of, you know, spiritual diseases. So, أَفَمَنْ شَرَحَ اللَّهُ صَدْرَهُ لِلْإِسْلَامِ فَهُوَ عَلَى نُورٍ مِّنْ رَبِّهِ There's a lot of imagery that exists in terms of light and the chest, right? And light and the heart. And there are actually metaphysical realities that actually bear out those images that are that are alluded to. Some people can experience those, some people don't experience those, but it doesn't take away from the fact that those things exist. For example, people say that, you know, the tajalliyat of فَلَمَّا تَجَلَّى رَبُّهُ لِلْجَبْلِ جَعَلَهُ دَكَّا وَخَرَّ مُوسَى الصَّعِيقَ This tajalli. So the tajalliyat are descending on the haram. So sometimes people, what's that called, enter into the haram and they just feel different, right? They say, I can't describe it in words. What are you feeling? Your something is going on in the ghaibi realm that you're feeling tangible in the zahiri realm, right? It's a reflection of that. So there's something going on under the hood, right? It's the same thing, sometimes you come and sit in someone's presence and you just feel different. Right, you feel like I feel so. There's metaphysical things that are going on. There's with tawajjuhat and all these type of things. But people don't. And even if the person is not actively giving tawajjuh, it happens on a ghair ikhtiyari sense. It just there's benefits which are to be had. Which is one of the reasons that you should sit with the righteous. It's actually a good thing. لا يأكل طعامك إلا تقيون. You should sit with the muttaqi individuals because just by sitting, not even saying anything, there's benefit in that, right? What's you're eating food. لا يأكل طعامك. You're eating food. You're not having a daras. You're not having a halaqa, but there's benefit in that. So there's when you go to the haram, but there are some people like they say that you know one of the righteous women in the past. Someone she mentioned to one of the mashayikh. She said, "No, your heart or cemented." Another she said that your heart is of stone. That's why you do tawaf of stone, right? My heart is connected with Allah, and I'm doing tawaf of the tajalliyat. And you know, in recent times, I know of at least one individual that when they go to the haram, it becomes manifest those lights, and it's like they're walking through light. Right, it's a hard, probably hard to explain for me and you to understand, but for him, that's his tawaf, right? There he's walking through light, and there is real nur there. I mean, you can also sort of see the nur. You go to the Kaaba and you see it, there's something there. You see nur on people's faces, but I guess whatever this person experiences is like, you know, on a different level. So anyway, صَدْرَهُ فَهُوَ عَلَى نُورٍ مِّن رَبِّهِ He is on a light from his Lord. But then right after that, the opposite. فَوَيْلٌ لِلْقَاسِيَةِ قُلُوبُهُمْ مِنْ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ Right? What? So woe be to that heart that is hard. Right? It is so hard that it doesn't even make the dhikr of Allah. It doesn't even remember Allah. The heart that remembers Allah is like a heart that is alive. And the heart that doesn't remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is like the heart that is dead. And I can tell you, very early in when I got into this field of tazkiyah, very, very early days, and my teacher had given me one of the first lessons, and probably one of the first times in my life where I actually did zikr, this thing called zikr. And it changed my life, right? It changed my life. I mean, I didn't know, it's like, you don't know what you're missing, right? You literally didn't know. I was like, oh my God, this was the real deal. This is what I was looking for. And I remember that summer I was teaching a summer Arabic intensive, and I was teaching Zadu Talibin. And I was by no means a scholar. I'm even now not a scholar. But I was just like a kid who had studied Arabic, and you know, they needed a teacher, so I was teaching Arabic and I was doing Zadu Talibin. And then the hadith comes, right? The one who remembers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is like and the one who doesn't is like the living and the dead. So I did the hadith. But I remember telling my class this, like this is, you could not describe what I'm feeling in my life right now better than this. Because it's like before I was dead, and now I just like feel alive. Like my heart came alive. And so فَوَائِلُ الْقَاسِدِ قُلُوبُهُ مِنْ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ This hardness that comes on the heart, it makes the heart callous, and it makes the heart unfeeling, and it makes the heart cold. Right? People call it, what they call it, cold-blooded murder. Right? They say the person is cold-hearted. And you have to think about what could drive a person to kill another person. Right? You have to have ice in your veins. It's not, and a lot of times, I mean, in pathology, that's the other thing. So when you do forensics, you see like the worst of human society. So you get those people who are dead on the table, and homicides and all of these type of things, and all that CSI type stuff. That's not what I do for a living. I think my cousins thinks that's what I do. Like I'm just like some type of detective or something like that, and deal with dead people, but I don't do autopsies. But you do go through training about that, and there's the whole science about, you know, the bullet, where it can enter from, and angles, and the type of spread that occurs on the skin. You can calculate ballistics and how far away they were when they shot the person. I mean, it's sort of interesting if you're into that macabre type of thing, but it's really macabre. But a lot of times when people like actually kill other people, it's because they're under the influence. Because there's an inherent, in the fitra of an individual, there's this barrier that no matter how hard you get, maybe you might beat the other person up, you might punch them a lot, but you know, once a person falls dead, a person's just not going to keep on doing to kill them. They just sort of walk away, right? Whether it's a spousal abuse, whether it's, you know, a person that you got into a fight with at the bar, it doesn't matter. They don't, human beings don't do that to each other. It requires something to get over that thing. And one of the things that you don't, people, type of people that don't need to overcome that is are psychopaths, right? So, I don't know, in my, you know, very wide readings, one of the things I've also read about is like psychology of psychopaths. I don't know why, but people sometimes are drawn to the occult, right? So that's like my being drawn to the occult. I want to know, like, why do psychopaths function? What's the psychology of a serial killer? Like, what's going through their brain? And one of the characteristics that you find about them, right, without going into the whole psychology aspect about that, is they have this sifa. They have a very hard heart, right? They don't really feel. They don't empathize. So they can actually kill something and not really feel remorse afterwards. In fact, sometimes they feel the opposite. That's even more perverseness, right? But for a lot of them, it's just cold-blooded killing. And the other thing, they lack this fineness of feeling. And a lot of times you see these people who are hard-hearted, they're very harsh, they're very rough, they're very nabadi, they're very filthy in their tongue. Very, very inflammatory. And the Arab, the Bedouins, are sometimes the prototype of this. Some of them were very hard-hearted. Because how could you be with the Nabi and still harbor nifaq? Right? It didn't make sense. Like, how could you be in and you're seeing the truth, you're seeing the miracles, and your heart doesn't move? Like, you saw this sometimes with the Bani Israel, who were with Musa alayhi salam. Like, you go, and it just... It used to boggle me for so long, and again, probably till this moment. Like, when they're with Musa alayhi salam, man, salwa, saving you from Fir'aun, you know, this resurrection, he's coming back with the, you know, the commandments, he's on Mount Sinai, you want to hear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like, that he opens up Jerusalem for you. I mean, it's like sign after sign after sign, and then you go and worship a cow? Like... from a psychological perspective, like, my undergrad is in psychology, I'm trying to understand that psychology of stupid. Like, how can it didn't make sense. Like, how do you do that? And one of the reasons that people went to that is because of this, actually. Right? It's because their hearts were hard. And so they were able to betray Musa alayhi salam, much less Musa, betray Allah. They were able to betray Allah, right? Because of the hardness in their hearts. It was a spiritual disease that allows them to do things with impunity. And it actually took them to the point where they used to kill the anbiya. Right? يَقْتُلُونَ النَّبِيِّينَ بِغَيْرِ حَقٍ. They used to, without any right, they used to actually kill them. They say something that you don't like, they just kill them. Right? Nabi of Allah. And so from amongst, and there's the story of Akram ibn Habis. He was, you know, when he was visited by the Prophet ﷺ, the Prophet ﷺ kissed one of his children. And he went to say that. He said, I have 10 children, I never kissed any one of them. Imagine never kissing your children. And if you think that's weird, like, no, sad. Like, I remember, like, there's one individual who was talking to me. Like, some parents are just not very emotive. And they said, like, you know, the one time that one of my parents gave me a hug, I just started crying. Right, when they were a kid, because they didn't know what that felt like. right? They're always just shouting at them and getting angry. It's not like they were bad parents. They're providing for them and taking care of them, but maybe it's tough love, maybe something, but it's also maybe a little bit of hardness of the heart, right? I mean, our kids, you should just drown them in love, right? You should drown them in love. If they don't get love from you, they'll look for love somewhere else, right? It's like the Hafiz who became Murtad, and, you know, I think Sheikh Hussein went to go, and his father took him to go and visit him and to talk to him. And he said that, you know, I never had love, but Jesus loves me. Right? Love is a powerful factor. It can change, it can take a person who memorized the entire Quran out of the deen, ajib, right? Because he's just looking for love. And the Prophet ﷺ, he told him, he said, can I help it if Allah SWT has removed mercy from your heart? And who doesn't have mercy on others, they won't be shown mercy. And, you know, Malik ibn Dinar, he said, مَا دُرِبَ عَبْدٌ بِعْقُوبَةٍ عَظَمَ مِنْ قَصْبَةِ الْقَلْبِ, that a person is not afflicted with a punishment, because it's a punishment to have a hard heart. That is worse than hardness of the heart. وَمَا غَضِبَ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ قَوْمٍ إِلَّا نَزَعَ الرَّحْمَةَ مِنْ قُلُوبِهِمْ. And if you want to know if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, you know, not pleased with a nation, just look to see if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has removed rahmah from their hearts. Right? And there are certain societies that you actually see. There's no better word that I can use to describe their culture other than like this, some Scandinavian type, you know, like sterile, right? Very sterile relationships, right? That there's no rahmah there. So it's weird. Sometimes they'll have rahmah about like trees or something, right? They'll be like tree huggers, but there's no rahmah for other human beings. Like, no, there's no, the idea that there's a person next to you and he's hungry and like, yeah, let me just feed him, right? It's just, it's me, mine, my own. It's just each one living in their shiloh. They say that if you want to diagnose this disease, then one of the ways that you can diagnose this is to look at the eye of the individual. Right? Is the eye wet or is the eye dry? Right? The person who has hardness of the heart, it's very hard for them to cry. The person whose heart is soft, they cry at everything. Right? And it doesn't matter if you're a guy or a girl. This is like a Western conditioning of machismo, that guys shouldn't cry because that's you're supposed to be strong. The fact that you cry is not, it's not a sign of weakness. It's actually a sign of spiritual strength. فَلْيَضْحَكُ قَلِيلًا وَلْيَبْكُ كَثِيرًا. You should cry a lot. The Prophet ﷺ, you know, when they're asked, when Aisha radiallahu anha was asked about the most amazing thing about the Prophet ﷺ, كَانَ كُلُّ أَمْرُهُ عَجْبٌ, right? His whole matter, كَمَا قَالَ, she's like, everything is amazing about him. Everything was wondrous about him. But she went on to describe how he used to just pray at night and just cry. And cry. And cry. There was no one who was more masculine than the Prophet ﷺ, right? He was the one who would take on an army single-handedly, like move over Rambo. أنا نبي لا كذب أنا ابن عبد المطلب, right? I mean, he was the ultimate when it came to that side. But when he stood before his Lord, he just cried like a baby. Right? It's actually because his heart was alive. And this day and age, I mean, I think only it was when I met people who were like developing themselves spiritually, it was like the first time that I heard grown men cry, right? It was weird for me, right? And then they cried like babies. It's actually one of the first times I saw that was, actually the first time that I was moved to tears was actually in one talk, the first time when I went to Suffern, New York, and there was a scholar who came there, and he gave a talk about the sacrifices of the ulama. And even though as a student of knowledge, I had no idea of what our history was and how much blood there was behind that and how much sacrifice there was behind that. And I was just like, I was blown away. And I think that's the first time probably in my life, and it was probably by that time in my 20s. Yeah, it's the first time that you shed a tear. Like, that's a long time. And I was like, and then after that, I think my own teacher, Sheikh Hussein Abdul Sattar, that's when he was given the responsibility to become, you know, a sheikh himself and do this work. And he was like, I'm not ready for this. And it was like sincerity overload, right? And like all my wires were just, and I was just crying. I'm like, what is this? What is going on? But then, you know, afterward you felt alive, right? Because that rock that was sitting in your heart, in your chest for so long, finally broke. And that was the first of many other moments and many other etikafs and sitting in basements in ICC and hearing, you know, people talk to Allah, and then it just touching your heart and touching your heart, and slowly, you know, that's, your heart starts to open up. So the heart, and you know, my sister-in-law, she would say that there used to be this one girl in the madrasa, there was never a time that she would pray except that you would see tears in her eyes. Right? People's hearts were alive. We can't cry. So that's one, and Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was like this, right? And this is the udhr that Aisha radiallahu anhu made to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, not to make him imam, right? He's like, he's so raqiqul qalb, you know, he's just going to be crying all the time. You can't even understand his qira'ah. Don't make him the imam, right? And she had an ulterior motive, right? She had another good motive why she, and I was out of love for her father, why she said that, but that's what she cited. And he was like that, right? He was very soft. So that's one thing. Another sign of a hard heart is that it's very hard for them to forgive, right? So something happened between two people, then you go back, it's hard for people to say sorry. Okay, so someone actually comes and says sorry, and you're like, right, they look the other way, and then you come back and, dude, I'm really sorry, I don't want to mess up my akhirah, and then they look the other way. Some parents are like this. If your kids come and say sorry, accept their sorry immediately, because you're teaching them the habit of, you know, owning up to their things, taking ownership, and the fact that if you say sorry, that all is forgiven, that it's not a high barrier of entry, right? But some parents, they don't want to act tough, right, with their kids. You know what's going to happen with your, if you do that, you act tough with your kids, they're just going to stop saying sorry, right? And then you lose even more control. People who do that, they're trying to play mind games. They're trying to play the thing that if I act tough and I'm going to exert my control over the child. You're not going to be able to control your child. They're just going to say, forget about you, right? And that's not, no one wins from that. Another thing, a sign of this, is that these people are slow to come cool down from their anger, right? When they heat up, they're slow to dissipate. And there's a whole hadith about different combinations, about, you know, how fast you heat up and how fast you cool down. And so the worst person situations, the first situation is you heat up really fast and you slow down really cool. You cool down very slow. And then the fourth sign of these people with a hard heart is that they can't take advice. Right? They just, like, you give them advice and they're just not willing to take it. You know, that you tell them something, like one of the other brothers was mentioning this to me in Etikaf, and it just hurt so much. Like, you know, he was pouring his heart into some of the youth here in Tampa, you know, trying to bring them to deen, this, that, and the other. And he says, okay, guys, you know, I did what you wanted, right? Like, you know, we hung out, let's just pray namaz. And they're like, nah, we're not going to do that, right? It's just hard. They're just looking at your face, and they'll see you pray, and they'll just sit there and watch, right? They're just sit there and watch. Their heart won't move. You know, you show them what's going on to the children of Syria, and nothing will budge in their pockets. Like, nothing, you can't touch people. Like, they're just hard. So what are the causes for this to become a hard heart? It starts with sin. This is one of the big ways. When a person sins, there's a nuqtatu sawda, there's a black dot that comes. You keep on sinning, it starts to engulf the heart. And then there's ghain, and then there's ghaim, and then there's ran, and then there's rusting. Like, you know, like you leave metal for a while and it rusts. Then the heart, and you don't polish it, then it gets rusted. And then after it gets rusted, then there's khatam, and it gets sealed. And then there's lataba, there's taba Allahu ala qulubihim, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts a seal. And then there's a certain level that comes, that alladhi yahulu bayna al-mar'i wa qalbi. Such as, if a person persists long enough, then Allah himself stands between the person's heart. You don't have a choice to change. Even if you want to change, you can't change right now. You know, because Allah is there. And the only way to get out of that is to beg Allah, that, ya Allah, let me get back. Right? Allahumma ana'udhu bika min thalik. The other thing that causes hardness of heart is laughing too much. Laughter kills the heart. And there's actually a riwayah to this effect in Adab al-Mufrad. The other thing is excessive talking without the remembrance of Allah. right? And this is something that in our gatherings we have to get used to interjecting the dhikr of Allah or the speak of something about the akhirah or some good topic into our normal conversations. Even if we're hanging out, even if we're meeting lively, if just immersion in talk of the dunya, like we shouldn't be talking about dunya in the masjid, but even if outside the masjid we're talking about always about dunya, then that's what's just going to be in our heart. And it can sometimes be simple, right? Just saying something that we're grateful for, that Allah gives us in our life. You know, there's simple ways to introduce the concept of Allah or the concept of deen into our gatherings, into our discussions. In the hearts that are hard, those who are farthest from Allah are those hearts who are hard. And you have to understand that, you know, there's إِنَّ مِنَ الْحَجَارَةِ لَمَا يَتَفَجَّرُ مِنْهُ الْأَنْهَارُ وَإِنَّ مِنْهَا لَمَا يَشَقَّقُ فَيَخْرُجُ مِنْهُ الْمَاءُ. There's hard, like, some people's hearts are so hard, they're like rocks. كَالْحَجَارَةِ أَوْ أَشَدُّ حَصْوَةً, they're even harder than that, because even from the rocks, there's some ones that water springs forth. Even the rocks cry, but we cannot. And you know, there's the rocks, like, what is the biggest rock that you can think of? Is a mountain. This Quran, if it descended on a mountain, عَلَى جَبَلْ لَرَأَيْتُهُ خَاشِيًا مُتَصَدِّيًا مِنْ خَاشِيَةِ اللَّهِ, it would rent it asunder. It would become reza, it would become like just destroyed. But the Quran comes, we hear it every night, but it doesn't destroy our hearts. We still can't cry. So then you already know, we don't have to ask the Shaykh, where's my heart? We should already know, right? We should already know. And in Hilyatul Awliya, right, Malik bin Dinar, we already mentioned that, right? There's no punishment that is severe than having a hard heart. So how do you treat this? You treat this with the dhikr of Allah, right? That enlightens the heart. And afzalu dhikri al Quran is to read the Quran, to contemplate in the Quran, to make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revives the heart, right? The third thing is to, so I had this discussion with, so when the heart is hard, you know, when a person's dying, what do? They put the paddles on, right? And they give them shocks. So what happens is that there's the thing that opens the heart is nur, right? That's the thing that breaks down. So the Quran coming down on the mountain is just like the tajalli of Allah, that nur, when it descended upon that mountain, it broke it down. The nur of the Quran, when it comes, it breaks down the rock of the mountain. And when the nur of different things come on the heart, that's what starts to wear the heart down. And there's different places where you can get nur, right? Sometimes it's sitting in the suhbah of the mashayikh and the awliya, that starts to open it up. Sometimes وَذَكِّرْ فَإِنَّ الذِّكْرَ تَنْفَعُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, sometimes that can open it up. But I was having this discussion with Mufti Kamal al-Din several years back, right? We were talking about different ways, and he says sometimes you need like to take out the Uzi, right? Like you need to take out the AK-47, the big guns, and that's like going to the Haram. Right? You know, you go to the Haram, and then Allah works His magic, because that's like the big reboot, right? And so you, sometimes Umrah will do it for you, and for sometimes people, sometimes that won't even do it for the person. Then sometimes you have to put the $10,000, and you know, you make the Hajj, right? And that's like the hard reset, like for the computer, you do the hard reset, go and make a Hajj, and then that can that can open up the heart. So we'll stop right here.